whatever the meditation reports or questions, also we will consider. And once that is finished, we may entertain other Dhamma questions specifically related to the talks given and other things related to our day-to-day life or our spiritual life. But we are not going to take theory for the sake of theory kind of questions. So that these questions will be filtered and streamed and screened, and then the retreat organizer will answer why these questions are not taken. In order to make the situation clear, we have already prepared some instructions how to make your interview reports. So if it is falling within the category what we enumerated, we will be considering them and discuss the situation, question, topic, or the statement. And either you can write it without your name and put it in the question box, or as and when time permits in the session, by raising your hand, you can directly talk to the audience also. And these are the two ways retreatant participant can join the retreat. Otherwise, this is happening as a common interview. This is a very important aspect in the meditation, because the dialogue or the discussion is the only thing we do, two-way discussion, two-way communication. Otherwise, always one-way flow that will not answer some of your doubts and the questions. So therefore, question and answer session, sometimes very, very dramatic, very, very important. So whenever time permits, please give your interview reports or meditation report with the question or without question, doesn't matter. So we'll be taking and we'll be discussing, and that will give me a kind of a feedback about the group, and then will be helpful for me to organize my talks. Because talks are happening as a series, and when and where question arises or suggestions or any things, I can consider that. Then the question and answer session and the Dhamma talks will be going hand in hand. So hope that is enough to start with the session. So we'll start with the already written questions, and if time permits, we can invite questions to the audience also. So cordially we'll invite Lakshmi to read out already written questions to start the session.
Thank you, Venerable Sir. There are a total of 5 people who have put questions into the box. The first 3 are on meditation practice, a combination of sitting and walking meditation. The 4th one, I will ask it and then you can answer. It's about how to start the meditation. The 5th one is a good question, but doesn't follow the detailed information that you require to be able to answer it. So, ideally, it's good if the person speaks to me or to Devika and gets our advice on how to reformulate the question. But the question is a good one. You may like to take it up anyway.
So we'll consider the last as the last.
Okay. Well, best, sir. First question. When sitting and focusing on the in-breath and out-breath at the tip of the nose, my breath disappears. I cannot feel my body. My face and upper body are covered in a prickling sensation which lasts for some time. Then random thoughts set in. When nothing can be felt, what should I focus on? When walking too, I experience this even though I focus on the feeling of the mat on my soles and the shifting of weight from left leg to right leg Do you think I'm about to get a skin rash? Then there's a smiley. Venerable Bhante, please advise.
So if we are to take the early part of the question, that is in sitting, this primary object is the in-breath and out-breath. And as and when you are advancing with the in-breath and out-breath, you experience the lack of in-breath and out-breath, lack of the face, lack of the body, and instead some flittering or vibrations or kind of experience is happening. So I think that is not difficult to understand. So it is there. Now the question is where to focus. So first you have the object to focus, that is the breath. And after a while the mindfulness is catching, or mindfulness is continuous, and then object is no more. So does that mindfulness need an object to be continue to be mindful, or is it okay to be mindful, aware of the situation, without kind of a focal point, without kind of a pinpointed point, and just be aware? So unless otherwise mindfulness is demanding something, unless otherwise it's a question, you must not be worrying about the pinpoint or focal point. If you are worrying, that indicates you are chasing behind the concentration rather than the mindfulness. I'm repeating. Under such circumstances, if you are asking for a benchmark, if you are asking for a reference point, if you are asking for a pinpoint, if you are asking for a focal point, that means you are worrying about the concentration. It's okay. No problem. But as far as you are mindful, you are progressing. Earlier, your mindfulness is in one point maybe, or single-pointed maybe, or at the end of the nostril maybe. Now, mindfulness is observing the whole body as a flux, as a vibration, as a kind of a phenomena. And as far as mindfulness is continuing, don't entertain doubts. Just let it go, even without a focal point. And when this is familiarized, even in walking meditation at a time, you may feel as if you are observing yourself as a third person and walking is happening effortlessly, and you understand the everything, totality, not the left leg, not the right leg, not the heel, not the arc, not the toes, but totality. So that's also a good feature, that is to say mindfulness is now happening autopiloting. So you learn how to get a distance from yourself and see yourself as another person. So that is the way mindfulness is diversifying and about to learn how to be mindful without an object. Just mere without an focal point, not mere without a benchmark, not mere without a reference point, is learning how to be mindful without an object. That is a very adventurous state. So under such, in the transitional period, doubts can happen. Don't accuse yourself, but go prepared. One day you have to develop mindfulness. It's airborne. It's not no more running in the runway. It is taken off. And so far you have taken the balance with the along the runway. But the plane has now taken off. It is in the aerodynamics now. So it is balanced. As far as it is balanced, don't worry, you have gone off the ground. That means you have gone off the materiality. Now it is about to learn immaterial kind of thing, or in common language we can say without an object. The initial part is without a focal point, without a pinpoint, without a benchmark. So this is explained. So therefore, next time when you go there, see the history of mindfulness from the known to unknown, gross to the subtlety, explainable to unexplainable, and then don't entertain doubts. Let the mindfulness to go. So in my jargon, language, I call it put into autopiloting and let go.
Thank you, sir. The next question is on rising and falling of the abdomen. Teruvan Saranai, most venerable Bhante. For health reasons, I can't do much walking at the moment. And it is helpful if I can put my legs up. Therefore, I try to meditate in a lying posture. So far, I proceed the same as in sitting meditation, observing the rising and falling of the abdomen. But I don't stay awake for long. Can you please give advice on meditation in lying posture? Thank you.
Without specifically on the lying posture, you have to meditate upon the posture. And that is the beginning of the meditation. After so much of episode, end of the story also with the posture. So therefore, posture understanding means you love yourself. So opposite is, throughout the sansara, throughout the life, you are hating yourself. That's why we need techniques. That's why we need spirituality. That's why we need formulas. So therefore, loving your body, we can say, love my posture, whatever it may be. It is not pertaining to specifically to the sitting, walking, standing, lying. So whatever the posture, or not only, of course, for cardinal postures, there are a lot of other shades and differences between posture junctions. So for the moment, we take four postures, whatever it may be, if you can make the posture comfortable, that it means you love yourself. But if you are sitting in a very crucified manner and try to be with a very tight, maybe fighting for a lotus posture, half lotus posture, for a beginner it is self-torturing. With respect to that lying down posture, it's very conducive, and one of the danger is that easy to fall into sleep. Whenever mind get absorbed, that sick concentration can happen, that you lose, you are just wasting time. So whatever may be, just experience when you make yourself comfortable in lying down posture, how do you know that you are not sitting? How do you know that you are not standing? How do you know that you are not walking, but lying down? And that is a starting point. If that particular person can give his or her account of the experience in lying down, then onward we can dialogue, have a dialogue and give some instructions. But without that simple starting experience or first-hand experience, very difficult for me to lead. If so, this much is enough. Please love yourself. Please love your posture. Yeah, you pass the mic, please. So what I need is, whenever you make yourself lie down, how do you experience, what is your experience?
Thank you.
Check the mic, tapping by tapping. Tap the mic. Oh, good.
Okay. When I lie down, I first observe the breath, the falling and the...
We can't hear.
Okay. When I lie down... okay, thank you. I first observed the...
Keep the mic in this angle or speak louder. Keep the mic this way. Mic. Yeah, good, good.
Okay, thank you. I observe the rising and the falling when I lie down. And at the moment there is a lot of kind of vibration, but it's not the vibration I'm used to. It's something a bit different somehow in the body. And it's not pleasant. So it's easier if I go back to rising and falling. And then some thoughts are coming. And I try to be with one part of the awareness with rising and falling. And the other part, I try to observe if the sleepiness is coming. How much I'm kind of drifting away. And then suddenly I'm gone.
So my question, I made it very simple. Without get complex or complicated with the rising and falling, when you lie down, how do you verify you are not sitting? How do you verify you are not walking? How do you verify you are not standing? How do you experience what is called lying down?
I experience it in Not very much in a physical sense, but more in this vibration and energy.
No, that is then on word we are in a complicated. You are talking two variables now. I wanted to make it simple. Just lie down and see what do you feel? What is your experience? How do you, it is deliberately selling, I am not sitting, I am not walking, I am not standing, I am lying down. What is your experience in lying down?
I think I will come with the question again tomorrow. Because I'm not sure if I can answer really now. I think I answered by saying that I was observing the rising and falling.
If it is rising, falling, happening, it's an additional mark. It's okay, it's no harm. But to make the matter very simple, make the matter very straightforward, when you lie down, just make sure your posture is comfortable, your posture is symmetrical, and that comfort is the starting point. If it is not there, instead if you are going to see rising and falling or in-breath and out-breath, that kind of thing, that means 1, 2, 3, 4 like stepwise development will be complicated. So therefore, just let you lie down, no problem, and see how do you can verify telling that I am not sitting. Well, I am asking what is the difference between sitting experience and lying down experience.
Okay. Thank you.
Understand?
I hope so, yes. I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so now you are experience sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And you say you feel more comfortable in meditation in lying down. That's why I am referring to lying down.
Mm-hmm.
So now try to experience. Now you are not lying down, you are not standing. Now you are walking, you are sitting. And this experience and what is the difference between lying down experience? So simple. Not so simple as such, but I am asking to make the matter simple. That, and then see what you experience. Maybe rising and falling, maybe the touching point, maybe the breath. So it is the second state. First you have to love, first you have to make sympathetic with your posture. And once that is experienced, then that is that the mindfulness is fixed to the lying down posture or posture, then onward very easy the balance. And then you may find later, not necessarily you must lie down, even in sitting, you can experience the posture.
Mm-hmm.
Now stand up. You can experience the posture. When you are walking, you can experience the posture. Because we are within the day, we are changing it. So whatever it may be, you must love. You must have idea this is the starting point. It's a clear starting point. That's why in the Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha explained, go into the forest, go and sit under a tree, go to a solitude place and sit down. And that if you can explain, that's a very good starting point rather than introducing the primary object. Make the primary object your posture first and then the primary object to manifest by itself. Then it will not be a burden because you clear the ground with the sitting posture and, sorry, in your case, lying down posture and then introduce, superimpose the breath, rising and falling or in-breath and out-breath to the experience of lying down. Clear?
I think I started with meditation in lying posture, kind of not really at the beginning, but too much out of the experience from sitting or from how I how the sitting is working at the moment. And with lying is kind of...
That can happen if it is so. Start your explanation, start your commentary from that point onward. Wherever you get the lying down posture, understanding, that is the starting of your essay. Before that, we can say it's a preliminary work, and then say, I say, lie down, and this is my lying down posture. Once that is gone there, this is the object came naturally, rising and falling, or breath, or your touch pressure points. They are adding added value, secondary values, or byproducts to the posture.
Thank you.
Third question, Venerable Sir. Tiruvan Saranai. Avasarai Gauravaniya Swamin Vahansa. I do anapana meditation. In the pariyanka or group sitting meditation, as soon as my mind settles and comes to the calm state. Earlier in this calm state, also, I got various thoughts. Now I hardly get, and I stay calmly for some time. Then I felt hardness in various parts of the body. Now, more than the hardness, I see ativenava and nativenava. I'll translate ativenava and nativenava, Venerable Sir, to those who don't know Sinhalese, as appearing and disappearing. Is that okay?
Rising and falling.
Rising and falling.
Nativa maybe.
Okay. Initially, it could be felt in parts of the body, and later I feel it in the whole body. When this starts, I do not think I get any thoughts, and I can be in this state for a while. After a while, I stop, and I do not know why. After a while, it stops, and I do not know why. In the Sakman Bhavana...
No, they are the it stops. So please give me what do you mean by it stop? Is it a rising and passing away stops or vibration stops? Or what do you mean by it?
Ativenava, nativenava.
Of what?
No, Swamina, sir, I don't know why... I gets up.
What?
I stop meditating. And
no, then you have to tell what you mean by meditating.
No, now I feel like I come to the calm state. And now, then I don't feel the body kind of. Then earlier I felt the hardnesses. Then I felt like ativenava kind of Swamina, sir, that. Rising and falling, I feel like in a interval, but then also it goes fast, but it's not it's not happening very fast kind of. Then I can feel the body is vibrating, not fast as vibrating, but kind of a vibration in the entire body, but I won't feel the body much. All of a sudden, after a while, I stop meditation.
Why do my meditation? You get up and open your eyes?
Yeah, I open my eyes.
So even by getting up and open your eyes, does your mindfulness get disturbed or mindfulness stopped?
No, Swaminas, I can start again.
So therefore, don't use the term meditation, use the mindfulness. So okay. Meditation is a highly misused term.
Okay.
We are replacing mindfulness. We are replacing meditation by mindfulness. So everything, you may be all of a sudden, you get up and you open your eyes, still maintain the continuity of mindfulness.
What you're saying is, even I open my eyes, I should continue.
You continue mindfulness and you have to give account whether mindfulness disturbed or not.
If I close my eye, I don't know why, Swamina, sir. It is kind of, it's asking me to get up kind of. But
you get up. Never mind. See mindfulness.
But if I walk, I can still be concentrated.
Don't fight with. Later you can do. Just get up. Just open your eyes and see what is happening to the mindfulness. And if the things are again back, you can come and sit again. You can close your eyes again and still maintain the mindfulness.
I can do that also.
So then don't worry about the meditation. Don't worry about the opening your eyes. Don't worry about the changing your posture. But still the thread of mindfulness is continuing. and come and sit again, close your eyes, and if you can report again, just like earlier, again the mindfulness is continuing either with vibration or rising and falling or breath, well and good.
Now walking also?
No, we'll finish this.
Okay.
So therefore, expect this to happen.
Okay.
Sometimes you get a jerk like this.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Some people fall back, fall down from the seat. If you are sitting on the ground, sitting on the higher seat, you may be completely falling down. Or sometimes you collapse backward. And again, if you sit, no problem. So when we were in Brisbane, the person in front of me, he came from Melbourne, completely collapsed. And everyone looked at, and his eyes gone up, and he sit back and meditate. Everyone, now it's a, there's no issue. And when I asked someone, him, he says, nothing happened. Even I do not know that I have fallen and come back and meditate. And he says, it's a great breakthrough. Because you are talking about the mindfulness, not the meditation, not the posture, not the object. The mindfulness can go through anything, whatever the complaint you are making. You are not giving the priority for the mindfulness. The moment you give priority to mindfulness, you are already enlightened. You never believe. Because you want to have the posture. You want to have the particular object. You want to have the particular shape. Particular manner. And whenever it is changed, you get shocked. You get electric shock and jerks. And ultimately, it's where something mystic happened and I am jerking and I am falling and I am kind of thing. But if you continue with the mindfulness, nothing to report. No remarks. So that means you are learning, give the priority to the mindfulness, everything will come accordingly. Everything gets aligned. As far as you are thinking other things than the mindfulness, you get messed up. You get hacked. You will be taken by all the other mystical powers as far as you don't know what is mindfulness. So it is true for the beginning. That is the way, because in our life, mindfulness is nothing. We ask in the fame, gain, and all the kind of thing, looked outside. We are living on other sides. And whenever you try to be mindful, you don't care what others see, what other remarks, you maintain mindfulness. And then you find nothing can disturb mindfulness. Nothing can disturb mindfulness. So trust, slowly, slowly. Whenever you are mindful, it's the most powerful thing, more than any defilement, more than any variable things. And the only thing is, we don't believe mindfulness, we believe religiousness, we believe that meditation technique, this meditation technique, that cult and that samadhi, that panya, so much so mindfulness become undermined, it can't perform. So it's a good thing.
Okay,
now
you.
Go to the walking meditation, yes?
When I'm walking, Swaminathan, now I feel again this kind of a vibration, no? Then also, I don't feel like I'm walking.
Good. But don't worry about that. Are you mindful? Are you sure that you are not sitting? Are you sure
yes.
you are not standing? Are you sure you are not lying down?
Yes.
Well, then good. Because your mind is always asking suffering. Mind is always asking something aberration. Mind is always asking something rough. Something torturing. Something burning. When it is not there, it's the biggest complaint in meditation jargon. When your frustration gone, you are lost. When your friction gone, you are lost. Whenever your burning gone, you are lost. Whenever torturing is no more, you are lost. That's called fear of freedom. We'll talk openly. We'll thrash out. And see, then not only you, everyone can join and see, are we talking something reality or are we imagining? So we are quite happy to talk about our worries. We are quite happy to make stories out of our burdens, torturing, and seeking others' compassion or sympathy. So much so you are a slave. And meditation is within few minutes. You will be taken into no friction path, comfort zone, and then you get entertained in doubts. What to do? What is my object must be? What should I do? You got the point?
Yes.
Can you repeat it and say what did you get?
Even if I get disturbed.
You have to talk to the mic.
Even if I get disturbed, I should not get. I should continue with the mindfulness.
Now, mindfulness is your best friend.
Yes.
And make the mindfulness fed up. Feed the mindfulness all the time. Don't worry about the concentration. Don't worry about your body falling down or lying down or sitting down, nothing. Be mindful. And I will tell you, whether you know or not, you are always mindful. Mm-hmm. That's the observation the Buddha made. You don't believe. You think it's a mindfulness, it's your conscious effort. No. It's only if you know, appreciate, even you are in the toilet, even in your shrine room, even whatever the posture, mindfulness is there. Don't mix it up with meditation. Don't mix it up with the space, the posture. Don't mix it up with the time. See, believe mindfulness is always there. Who is going to say no? Your bloody foolishness, idiotness. That is called the darkness. That's called the ignorance.
Yes, I know, sir.
So we'll trash it off. We'll say, whole time we are mindful. Whatever the posture, whatever the object, whatever the thing, and take it as the hypothesis, you are trying to prove it. Always I am mindful. And then you may see some gaps, but anyway, the contribution is much, much better than suspecting mindfulness. Yes.
The next question, Venerable Sir. Bhante, is it okay to use a guided meditation audio track of 9 minutes at the start of sitting meditation? Then, once the audio is finished, I continue noting rising and falling. Thank you. With metta.
If it is initiating your mindfulness, do whatever you like. No problem. We call it a preliminary action. If the guided meditation is okay to baby to sleep, the mother should lullaby. So if it's by lullabying, if the baby is sleeping, why not? We have our own choice. And as far as this not killing, stealing and sexual misconduct kind of thing, do it. No problem. But you must know utility value of it. You listen and then make use the time. 5 minutes, not much of a waste then.
Thank you, sir. The final question is the one that I would appreciate if the person approached me and we gave more meat to it, but maybe you can get the meat out of the person if I read the question. Would you like me to read the question?
Yes, please.
Venerable Bhante, sometimes my mind feels very quiet and I get the sense that there is nothing to do. Sometimes I feel really stuck in meditation and I don't know what to do. I feel restless as my mind seems to be eager for progress. Then I tend to get very easily bored. How can we avoid becoming stagnant in our practice?
Yeah, that's stagnation is a kind of a relative term with the dynamism. So different people define dynamism as stagnation different ways. But whatever may be the truth is, dynamism is reciprocally connected with the stagnation. Stagnation is reciprocally connected with dynamism. They are working in like a cycle. So whenever you stagnate, then the dynamism starts. And whenever you dynamic state happen, and then the stagnation happen. They are reciprocal each other. So if you are only asking dynamism, you are negative, and your request is not natural, so you suffer. When the stagnation happens, see, this is a stagnation. Still the mindfulness is there. When the dynamism happens, you understand this is dynamism, and ultimately you find they are reciprocal each other. They are cause and effect each other. So don't expect one part of the cycle. Then your request is abnormal. That is the point where frustration started with. So when there is nothing to do, you can see still I there. That is why the question. Sometimes you don't know what to do, still I is there. That is what the normal, that bloody fellow don't know what to do. Sometimes it's full of boredom, and then mindfulness says it is stagnating. All three places, nothing but I, the judgmental I, the assuming I is the cause, not the nothingness, not the boredom, not the doubtful situation. So therefore, are you going to confirm and reconfirm that particular I as me, mine and myself, or just see it's an uninvited guest making judgments, making assuming, and just see how it is appearing into the scene. We have not given any fertilizer. We have not given any food for I to have come. But it is coming. Moment you understand it, no problem. And it's very difficult because it is very cheating. It's a very kind of a perverted. So whenever I happens, just see. Yesterday I listened to a kind of a thing. It says people are talking about that economic progress and development and all the kind of thing. And ultimately, whatever the progress, you are full of frustration. Whatever the progress, you are full of desperate. And to that, one Chinese person came and demonstrated a good example. Another Indian is talking about, it says, in a big conference, the Chinese person brought down a mirror and keep a chair in front of the mirror. Then you have two chairs. Chair and the mirror image. And then he covered the mirror, then only one chair. And you can worry about you lost the second chair. But it is a mirror image. It was not there originally. So if you are aiming at that mirror image, you had lost. So I is the mirror image. And it is coming and interpret everything. And without questioning I, you are going to give answers. The bloody I is raising. Cover the mirror. Then you are back to the same old chair. No second. So meditation, we try to slowly, slowly corner to isolate, delimit I. When and where it is arising, just see. Don't hate it. Don't try to get rid of it. And don't love it. See the performance, and the particular person can read the question and see all the three sentences start with simple letter I. Moment you are trying to see it, you will love I to present more options. Not only the nothing to do, not to do what to do, not to do worrying about boredom. Just ask the bloody I to come out, give more and more combinations. And you see, you are what a slave or what a servant of the I, which is just a mirror image. And if you cover the mirror, you will back with the same old chair.
That was the last written question, Venerable Sir.
So we have about 10 minutes before going into the walking meditation. If my answer that given, if it is not clear or any other new questions available, we can make use of these 10 minutes